Thank you for listening to the New Hope Christian Church podcast for the weekend of July 11th, 2021. This week's sermon title is Dealing with Deception by lead pastor Kerry Yeck.
Welcome to our online service at New Hope Christian Church. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to a couple of scriptures. We're not going to actually read through, but I want you to have them open there and ready so you can refer to them throughout the message today. The first is found in 1 John 2, 18 through 27, and the second is found in 2 John, the entire letter. Charles Schulz was the famous creator of the Peanuts comic strip. Schulz was known for his profound statements, which he sometimes made in person and other times made through his cartoons. One of Schulz's quotes went like this: "It makes no difference what you believe, as long as you are sincere." In other words, there are many untrue ideas and thoughts that are often accepted as true because they're sincerely made by well-meaning people. What I'm not sure of, if this was part of his personal philosophy or if he was just observing what seemed to be common thought amongst many people. Nevertheless, sincerity is not the secret ingredient that makes something true. The proverb writer reminded us more than once, there is a way that seems right to people, but in the end, it oftentimes leads to death. In other words, the degree of our sincerity does not determine the truth of what we believe, because people can be sincerely wrong sometimes. Because God is truth, He determines what is true, and what we believe makes a huge difference in our lives. In his letter to the Galatian Christians, the Apostle Paul wrote, "I am shocked that you are turning away so soon from God. You are following a different way that pretends to be the good news, but is not the good news at all. You are being fooled by those who deliberately twist the truth concerning Christ." Because truth has the power to set us free from our enslavement to any sin and all sin, Satan tries to keep us from the truth by deceiving us. And make no mistake, the devil's very good at what he does. He twists the truth ever so slightly to prevent us from living in freedom. Now, in our first three messages of this sermon series through 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John, God described the conflict between light and dark, as well as the conflict between love and hate. In today's message, God warns us about the conflict between truth and deception. You see, it's very important to God that those who follow Him walk in His light, walk in His love, and walk in His truth. And why is that? Because lies enslave us while truth liberates us. So, in verse 18, John begins by describing the Antichrist. Now, John first reminds his readers what we learned a few weeks ago in our End Times sermon series. God is not defined or limited by our concept of time. The time between Christ's resurrection from the grave and Christ's return, regardless of how long that time may be, is called the last hour or the last days. The term is not referring to a duration of time, but a type of time. These last days will occur prior to Christ coming to earth and permanently establishing His kingdom here. True life is found only in Jesus Christ. Life's meaning and purpose can only be given to us by Jesus Christ. The treasures of wisdom and knowledge are found only in Jesus Christ. On the other hand, Satan is a liar. He is a murderer. He is a thief who is opposed to Jesus Christ. Satan's sole purpose is to steal our joy, kill our dreams, and destroy our lives, our marriages, our families, our churches, and everything he can. Now, in 1 John chapter 4, verse 3, John writes about the spirit of the Antichrist, which has been in the world ever since Satan deceived Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, declared war on God as well as everything and everyone else. The prefix anti can either mean against Christ or instead of Christ. So Satan keeps us from Jesus Christ by deceiving us about the value of the things we can see and find in this world. This world and everything in it will soon pass away. Only those who obey God will live forever. As the temporary prince of this world, Satan deceives us by substituting his counterfeits found in this world for the realities that can only be found in Jesus Christ. A Turkish delight is a candy made of starch and powdered sugar. It's often flavored with lemon or rose water. It is a delicious temptation that is hard to resist and hard to quit eating. For my purpose, all candy is a Turkish delight to me. Well, in the movie Chronicles of Narnia, Satan, who is represented by the White Witch, used Edmund's addiction to Turkish delights to control him, to manipulate him, to extract information from him. Now, of course, the effects of too many Turkish delights can cause one to be sick. The author of Chronicles of Narnia, C.S. Lewis, cleverly uses Edmund's fascination and Edmund's addiction to Turkish delights to represent our fascination and our addiction to sin and the things of this world. John tells us that Satan often deceives us through false teachers whom he calls Antichrist with a little a. These antichrists are misguided. They are diabolical. They were deceiving people in John's day, and they have continued to deceive mankind for the 1900 plus years since then. Now, there will eventually be a specific individual called the Antichrist with a large A. Dr. David Jeremiah says there are over 100 passages of Scripture describing the Antichrist, but the word itself is used in only 4 verses, and all 4 of them are from the Apostle John. Not only will this world leader be opposed to Jesus Christ, he will proclaim himself as the Christ. More than 25 different titles are given to the Antichrist, all of which paint a picture of the most despicable man to ever walk the planet. He will be Satan's Superman, who persecutes, tortures, kills anyone aligning themselves with Jesus Christ during the tribulation. Now, as I said in my end time sermon series, it's my understanding that true believers in Christ will meet the Lord in the air and leave this world before the Antichrist wreaks his havoc. Now, even though the Antichrist has yet to come or reveal himself, John says there are little a Antichrists everywhere. It was true then, it's still true today. Now, how do we identify them? How do we know who they are? Well, John gives us 3 characteristics that we can identify an Antichrist by. The first is found in chapter 2 and verse 19. They depart from the fellowship. Now, let me be clear. John is not talking not talking about true believers who, for various reasons today, feel called to leave one church and attend another Bible-believing, Christ-centered church. That's not what John is talking about. John is talking about people whose theology is all messed up. People who attend a church not for the sake of building up the believers, but with the intention of causing dissension. The Apostle Paul also talked about these antichrist in Romans chapter 16. They deceive people with their smooth talk to make themselves look good, and Paul told us to keep away from such people. If they don't get their way, they will eventually leave. So what part of their theology is messed up? Well, John says in verses 22 and 23, as well as 2 John 7 through 9, they deny the faith. They don't agree with the clear apostolic biblical teaching concerning the person and the identity of Jesus Christ. While he was alive, Jesus referred to himself as the cornerstone the prophets had promised God would send. In his preachings and in his writings, the Apostle Peter called Jesus Christ the cornerstone, the only one in whom we can find salvation. The Apostle Paul says that believers in Jesus Christ comprise the house of God, the temple of God. The teachings of the apostles and the prophets form the foundation of that household, that temple, but Jesus Christ himself is the cornerstone. There were people in John's day, and there are people today, who claim to believe in God, but deny the person, the purpose, and the power of Jesus Christ. And John makes it very clear in verses 22 and 23, who is a liar? Anyone who says that Jesus is not the Christ. Anyone who denies the identity of the Son doesn't know the Father either. This is such an important truth. John's going to repeat it. He's going to reemphasize it over and over in these three short letters. The reality is John had heard Jesus teach this truth. John had seen the things that Jesus did as evidence of this truth. And so John wrote in his gospel, Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, that Jesus is the Son of God, and that by believing you might have life in his name. While he was still here, Jesus said, I and the Father are one. Jesus prayed to his Father, may the world be in us, so they may believe that you have sent me. I think it's interesting to note what Jesus did not say. Jesus did not say, I am one of many ways to the Father. I am but one source of truth. I am but one path to life. Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Those are not my words. Those are the words of Jesus himself. My friends, before we attend any church, we would be wise to check out their core beliefs and to see what they believe about Jesus Christ. Before we listen to any teacher, we need to know what that individual believes and where they stand on the identity of Jesus Christ. Jesus warned us, watch out that no one deceives you with regard to who Jesus is and with regard to who they are. Some of you may remember a few years ago, a young man named Jason Carlson of Christian Ministries International. He and his brother Ron have started that ministry. They have said there are more than 1,000 cults in America alone. with some 25 to 30 million followers. And oftentimes what separates those cults from the church is their version of Jesus, because it's not the Jesus of the Bible. For instance, Islam believes that Jesus was one of five major prophets, Muhammad being one of those five major prophets. But they do not believe that Jesus is God or that Jesus is the Son of God. Now, it was interesting to me while I was researching what Muslims believe about Jesus, how they try to make it sound like their version of Jesus is the same as ours. The Jehovah's Witnesses claim that Jesus is actually Michael the Archangel, that he came to earth as a man, died on a stake, and rose from the grave invisibly as a spirit. They further believe that Jesus returned to earth invisibly, specifically to Brooklyn, New York in 1914 to lead the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society. The Mormons believe that Jesus was once a human being like all of us, but through his good works, he evolved spiritually to become a God. Furthermore, the Mormons believe that we can do the same thing if we too are good enough. You won't see a cross at any Mormon church or any Mormon temple, because Mormons teach that the blood of Jesus Christ cannot fully atone for our sins. The Church of Scientology, which includes many famous actresses and actors like Tom Cruise, claims that Jesus is a false dream. And the list can go on and on. The Baha'i Faith, the Unitarians, the Freemasonry, Christian Science, Transcendental Meditation, and more all teach a Jesus who is different from the Jesus of the Bible. Don't take my word for it. Look these cults up for yourself and see what they believe. The reality is, true Christians have a right view of Jesus Christ. He is not just a good man. He is not just a great moral teacher. He is not just a wonderful example. Jesus Christ is God in the flesh, who came with his own blood to atone and redeem us from our sins. The third characteristic of an antichrist is they deceive the faithful. It would be one thing if these individuals were content to enjoy their false teachings amongst themselves, but Satan is not an originator. He is a counterfeiter. He imitates the work of God and twists it ever so slightly to deceive people. The Bible says that Satan has counterfeit ministers who preach a counterfeit gospel that produces counterfeit Christians who are relying on a counterfeit righteousness to get to heaven. In fact, most of you probably are familiar with the parable of the tares, where both Jesus and Satan are pictured as sowers. Jesus sows the true seed, which produces children of God. Satan sows bad seed. Now, for a time, the weeds and the wheat as they're growing look the same. It's not until the fruit or the grain appears that the two can be distinguished from the other. Little A antichrists or false teachers often sound like true teachers of the word. It's not until we see their fruit that we begin to tell them apart. We need to know the truth, not just so we can be set free, but so that we can be used by God to set others free who are enslaved to Satan's lies. So how do we combat these false teachers, these antichrists? How do we go about defeating them and putting them in their place? Well, in 2 John verses 1 through 6, the apostle tells us we need to be devoted to the fellowship. One thing John will remind us of over and over is that we should love one another. We'll see that many times throughout these letters. It is as a command as old as the law of Moses. But it's new in the sense that God's people hadn't always obeyed that command as they should. Knowing God is not enough. God expects us to also obey his commands, including this command to love one another. Now, friends, love is not just a positive emotion we conditionally give to those who make us feel warm and fuzzy. Love is a divinely empowered decision, an unconditional choice to avoid prejudice, to avoid discrimination, to accept people whoever and wherever they are, to listen to people, to give to people, to serve people, to refuse to judge them, to help them wherever and whenever God calls us. Jesus said that when we love like this, when we go out of our way to love those whom he loves, the world will sit up and take notice. We see that happening in the book of Acts. First century believers living in Jerusalem were so committed to each other. Unbelievers were getting involved with their fellowship on a daily basis. Is it possible? We could see the unsaved flock to our fellowship today, even maybe on a weekly basis? Well, it certainly is if we are as devoted to our family at New Hope and devoted to the family of God throughout central Iowa as they were devoted to each other in the first century. We've been wandering in the wilderness as a church family now for some 16 months. And yeah, it's not long now that we will be able to soon worship together in our own facility. But the fields Jesus commanded us to pray for won't be gathering with us in our building for worship. They work with us outside of the church. They live with us in our same neighborhoods. They play with us throughout the week. God forbid that we would become so inwardly focused that we forget why we exist. To both reach the lost and make disciples of them, who in turn make disciples from other people to Jesus Christ. Second way we defeat these antichrists is to be devoted to the faith. In order for a plant or a tree, a flower, grass to grow, it has to send its roots down in search of nutrients and water. What is true in the plant world is also true in the spiritual world. If we are to successfully navigate the lies of the evil one and his messengers, then we need to know the truth. We need to send our spiritual roots into the Word of God. I don't know if you get tired of hearing me say this over and over again, encouraging people to get into their Bible every day. But without that spiritual nourishment, we can be easily deceived by the lies of the evil one that look enough like the truth to fool us. I love the description of the Jews living in Berea found in Acts chapter 17, verses 11 and 12. The Berean Jews were of more noble character than those who were living in Thessalonica, for the Berean Jews received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day every day to see if what Paul said was true. And because a great many of them were diligently studying the scriptures, a great many of them became true believers in Jesus Christ. That's the power of God's word. Before he left planet Earth, Jesus promised his disciples that he would give them the Holy Spirit. It would be the Holy Spirit who would help them to remember the truth, who would lead them to truth, help them to discern the truth. Jesus promised those of us who hunger and thirst to know more about him, we would be filled to overflowing. Who is the real Jesus? John tells us in his gospel, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. A few verses later, we learned the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. He pitched his tent among us, and we have seen his glory. It's the glory of the one and only Son who has come from the Father, full of grace and truth. Paul tells us that Jesus is the visible image of the invisible God. Paul further says, "For in Christ all the fullness of God lives in bodily form." The real Jesus is the one true God of all creation. He is the second person of the eternal triune God. He loves us so much he split history into BC and AD in order to personally reveal himself to us. He came to seek and to save those who were lost. As Peter said, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. Who is the real Jesus? He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the first and the last, the beginning and the end. He lived on planet Earth, physically died, and was buried in a grave, bodily resurrected from that grave, and he is forever alive. He is the Lamb of God who came to take away the sins of those who choose to follow him. He is the light of the world who gives sight to those who are spiritually blind. He is the gateway through whom we find our way to God, the truth who never changes, and the life that never wavers. He is the good shepherd who knows his sheep, calls his sheep by name, and lays down his life for his sheep. He is an always present friend who never leaves us and never gives up on us. He is the treasure of all wisdom and knowledge. Who is the real Jesus? In the words of that late great black preacher S.M. Lockridge, and I quote, "I wish I could describe him to you, but he's indescribable. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. He's God's son. He's the sinner's savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He's the only one able to supply all our needs simultaneously. He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. The heavens can't contain him, and man can't explain him. You can't get him out of your mind. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. We talk about black power, white power, and green power, but in the end, all that matters is God's power. For thine is the kingdom, thine is the power, and thine is the glory forever and ever and ever. And how long is that? It's forever and ever and ever. Amen. And the question, my friends, we all need to answer is this: do you know him? Because if you don't, then it's time you be introduced to him. It's time you give us a call at New Hope Christian Church, 752-1612, and ask to speak to somebody who could introduce you to Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Our great and eternal Father in heaven, we thank you so much for sending your Son, Jesus, to come among us, live among us, to pitch his tent in a physical human body, and not only live a perfect life, but a life as an example for us, a life that because he had never sinned, you accepted as a substitute in our behalf. God, we are not deserving of this wonderful free gift, but we commit our lives to you in Jesus' name. We pray, God, that you would use us to be the hands, the feet, the body, the person of Jesus in our world today. Whether it be at work, whether it be at school, whether it be in our sports teams, whether it be in our neighborhood, wherever you take us, God, may we be Jesus, sharing his light, sharing his love, sharing his truth with everyone we come in contact with. And God, if there be lives that are eternally changed because of our faithfulness to you, we give you the glory, a glory that you and only you deserve. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. So if you don't know Jesus, call us at the church. Ask for someone who can introduce you to Jesus. And if you do, if you're a true believer in Christ, then let us go forth and be the church wherever God calls us to do life. Thanks for joining us.